Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to We On The Night Radio. I'm your host, Coach Epps, along with Coach Coop.
Good evening, everyone.
We have a very interesting show for you tonight. Tonight's topic, Coach Coop, will be media's coverage in women's sports. What do you think about that?
I'm ready for you, Coach, but we're going to turn the tide a little bit. I'm putting you on the hot seat tonight, and I'm going to do the questions tonight. How about that?
Hey, Coach, whatever floats your boat.
But Coach, before we get started, I want to send out condolences to the families of the NFL players that lost their lives this past weekend. Condolences to the family, teammates and his friends. Condolences to Marcus Cooper, Corey Smith, and William Blickley, who lost their lives due to a boating mishap this past Saturday.
Yeah, our hearts goes out to those guys, man, and their families, and especially the kids, the family members. It's a real rough time in the NFL, but our heart goes out to them, and all we can say is, you know, in life you got to be careful in anything you do, but, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation, Coach.
Yes, it is, Coach. Well, Coach, our topic tonight, women in sports media. And unfortunately, I have to leave that sad story, but we have to deal with the media as well. Coach, currently TV coverage in regards to women's sports is minuscule, if not non-existent, most of the time, other than the Olympics and World Cup soccer. Coach, I'm going to put you in a hot spot tonight, and I'm going to look forward to all your comments. And let me just say this. I'm sure you saw in the news this past Monday, March the 2nd, Serena Williams defeated her sister Venus in the finals tennis match that was held up at Madison Square Garden in New York. Serena won a $400,000 of a $1.2 million purse. Tremendous feat and a whole lot of money. Coach, did you know this was the first time in 9 years that women's tennis captured center stage of the Garden? This all came about because of four out of the top seven women in tennis decided to put this event, to host this event. There were celebrities such as former President Bill Clinton and a host of others to honor Billie Jean King that night, who also was known to have founded the Women's Tennis Association back in 1973. I don't know if you knew that, Coach. I don't know if you were a tennis star or a player, if you like running around putting a little shorts on and hitting the ball. I know you're a masculine guy. I love the game of football. But, you know, it's in the off season. I don't know if that's your kind of thing.
Well, actually, Coach, I do follow tennis somewhat. I can't say that I'm a tennis buff or guru, but I do follow some tennis, Coach. But I had some real interesting facts that you gave me about Serena Williams and her sister. But I'm going to tell you this, Coach. That's why we're on the topic tonight, because we want to know if do the women get the same coverage as the male counterparts when it comes to the media.
That's right, Coach. And in regards to that event, the Billie Jean Cup was a part of an overall effort by the Tennis Association. They called it Tennis Night in America. And their efforts were to get youth registered in the sport. And over 750 tennis and tennis community centers were signing up kids to participate this spring, this upcoming spring, to flourish that. So they got a lot of great media coverage. Coach, in 1971, the Association of Intercollegiate Women's Athletes was founded, and Title VII was signed into law about, I think it was like 1972, giving women the opportunity to compete in intercollegiate national championships. This was considered by some like the beginning of media attention in women's sports. Coach, why do you think it took till 1971? I mean, we're well past the time of one earner incomes in the household today, and there are women in the military, and et cetera. Why do you think it took so long?
Well, Coach, I got to start off by saying this. 1971 was a great year. It was the year I was born. So if anything had to kick off, 1971 would be the year that it should have kicked off, Coach. And I think it's a fair year. And since you gave me those facts, I guess I'll never forget the year it kicked off. But all I can say, Coach, quite honestly, we were moving into the century where women, along with a lot of other, like African-Americans, we were just getting on the forefront of gaining some of our civil rights and liberties in this country, Coach. And I think the 70s was the start of that. We just left the, as they called the movement of the 60s, where everybody was free-spirited and trying to come together and bring the country together. I mean, we had many marches for civil rights, and a lot of the turmoil and things that was shaking this country's foundation was happening in the 60s. But what I really think, the 70s, we was at the verge of doing something special. So, like I said, if any year was a good year, 1971 should have been that year, Coach.
Well, you know, Coach, but even if we go prior to 71, you remember when all the men were overseas and fighting the battles in World War II, and women were actually took up the sport of baseball. They basically dominated the sports page during that time, and you would think that that would kind of have a carryover. I know when the men returned back from the war that women's baseball kind of died out, and you had that famous movie that came out with, what's his name, Tom Hanks, that portrayed women's baseball, and that would got some play, and it showed the women going back to the Hall of Fame, showing their old uniforms. And I think they set aside a portion of that era out up in Cooperstown. But from that time until 1971, Coach, there was just there was nothing going on. And I guess if it wasn't really for the Association of Intercollegiate Women bringing that to bear, that we probably will still be in that same kind of arena. Coach, did you realize, I'm going to test your brain, did you realize back between the eras of 1993, 1994, did you realize six out of 52 of the Sports Illustrated issues only portrayed women on the front cover? Coach, what do you think that says about print media?
Well, like I said, Coach, things back then wasn't equal. We had much better media coverage on women's sports today, but it's still not equal. Unfortunately, what's happening now, I mean, a lot of things are catching on for women. Take it to WNBA, Coach. This is the second time the WNBA, and under another name a couple years ago, Coach, this is the second time they tried to come back and get the public to watch women play basketball, per se. I mean, women in college has always been a good sport for basketball, but when they got to the professional level, I think people lost their luster to watch women compete at that level. So the second go-round of the WNBA is doing much better. It's holding its own. It's not as popular as it could be, but people are making decent salaries from it, being that they still have to have some of the players still have other jobs, Coach. So I still think we're in that beginning stage where it's evolving and people are catching on. They're used to their moms going out, playing professional sports, coming home and be able to tuck you in a bed. I mean, I think society based over history, it just has to take some time to get used to it, Coach.
Well, I'm glad you had that viewpoint, Coach. I'm going to throw some more stuff at you. And maybe you'll even be surprised by some of the things that that I've come to learn about women in sports media. I mean, in another study that was conducted, actually was in the Women's Sports Foundation, I remember the women's tennis great Billie Jean King, who founded that association, that organization. At that time, 1991, 92, it was reported that only 3.5% of all sports stories covered women's sports. And that was reported by the USA Today, Boston Globe at the time, and I believe the Orange County Register and the Dallas Morning News. Coach, does the media devalue women's sports?
Well, I don't say they would devalue women's sport, Coach, because, I mean, when women do great things in sports, I think they get adequate coverage. The problem is I think the coverage is too infrequent when it comes to women's sports. I think they don't cover enough women's sports, you know. I mean, take for instance, the NCAA men's final. Mm-hmm. Prime time, usually on Monday nights, you know, the championship game. And right after that, when do the women come on? You know, it's not a prime time slot, Coach. So, I think they cover it in the same way, but I think the availability of them covering more women's sports is what this era has to get into. They don't find certain sports significant enough until they reach championship level. I mean, you were talking about Serena Williams. You know, I mean, how many of the beginning matches do they put on TV before they get to the championship? And that's where I think lies in the problem. Not that they don't cover it once they decide to cover it. I think it's too infrequent, and they don't cover enough women's sports in the infancy, in the beginning stages to the end championship stages. And I think I would like to see more of that.
Well, you mentioned Serena, and I want to come back to that a little bit later in the show, Coach. But moving on, let me just say this. I mean, let me just ask you this. Is it wrong? I want you to really think about it. Is it wrong to show women athletes in a feminine, attractive posture when promoting sports and other fitness products?
Well, I mean,
I got you, Coach. Come on, answer up.
Yeah,
keep it real.
All I can say to that, Coach, is again, I think it's a society base. We're getting out of a let's keep it real, a male-dominated society. And we're starting to get into the era where things are starting to be more susceptible in the day's time. I got a question that was asked, and I'm going to pose the question to you, Coach.
Wait a minute, Coach. You didn't ask my question now. Answer the question.
Well, Coach, is not fair. I think society is just getting used to putting more feminine products on mainstream television and having women's sports athletes sponsor those type of products. I mean, it's just starting to evolve. I mean, should it be more? Probably should, Coach, but it isn't. And this is what we're here to talk about, to expand upon this and make sure the media cover both sides, males and females, equally.
But when they do this, Coach, and when they show women promoting these kind of products, does this increase the interest of audiences and the media to increase its coverage of women's sports?
Well, that's kind of a hard question to answer there, Coach. I mean, you know, I mean.
Well, keep it real, Coach.
I'm keeping it.
You're turning the tables tonight.
Yeah, it's nothing wrong with turning the tables, Coach. And that is a very interesting question. I mean, you know, I don't know if the audience loses its interest in watching athletes, female athletes cover these type of products during major sporting events.
Does it increase? If you saw Serena Williams or doing a commercial on a tennis court, and she's screaming and yelling and, you know, sweat are pouring down her veins, and she put the deodorant on, does that make you want to go out and see a tennis match? I mean, you see her muscles busting out, leg cast, that kind of stuff, and go, man, I got to go see a tennis match. Or you just look at it as it is, she's selling the product, that's it.
Well, I mean, that's like I said, that's an interesting question, Coach, because, I mean, far as I'm concerned, just because an athlete wear a pair of tennis shoes don't make me want to go out and buy it. But that's just my personal point of view, Coach. I mean, there is some people that are so, you know, infatuated with athletes, like we did role models a couple of weeks ago. They're down to do anything that the athlete do. If the athlete wear Nike, they want to wear Nike. If the athlete puts degree deodorant on, they want degree deodorant. You know, I'm just not into that, but let's keep it real. There's a lot of people who is into that. So, I mean, like I said, for me, it's a tough question to answer, but for the people who do follow their athletes that closely, it's a very easy question for them to answer.
Right. Now, as women, do you think that their big payday in sports generally is based on their athletic ability, Coach, or is it for posing in ads to promote their sexuality?
Well, Coach, you know, sex sells. Let's keep it real. Sex sells. I'm trying to think of the tennis player since we were on tennis. The tennis player a couple years ago, Coach, young female Caucasian tennis player, you know, I mean, by all standards, wasn't very good.
Right.
But she was quite marketable.
Right.
I mean, she got the endorsements. I mean, people loved her. So on tennis ability alone, she shouldn't have had the endorsements. But because of some other factors that mix up in that coach, she was a very marketable person, and she made millions of dollars.
Yeah, it wasn't Katarina Vitt. I remember who you're talking about.
Yeah.
They would get close-up shots on her, and she was doing photo shoots. And like you said, she wasn't the best player out there, but she drew attention as far as selling other products.
Yeah, she did. And, I mean, and she made a good living from it. And you can't blame her. I mean, you know, as they say, if sex sells. If that's what the public wants to see and they're willing to pay for it, I mean, who am I to say that you couldn't make a living in that type of manner?
Coach, do you think that people, when looking at women's sports, do you think that people go to see women's sports as the same reason as they go to see men's sports?
Well, I'm going to be honest, Coach. We're in the Keep It Real segment of the show. I'm going to keep it real. It's according to what sport we're talking about.
Okay.
Women wrestling is becoming very popular today.
Right.
You know what I mean? Of course, that's going to be a sport that men typically like to go see, not because perhaps they're the best wrestling athletes out there, because of the sexy costumes. And of course, some of the peculiar positions they might wind up in during the actual wrestling match. So, I mean, hey, let's keep it real. I mean, men have a tendency to go watch just for those purposes.
Hey, Coach, you know what? Something just flashed in my head remember that name now? I had to go back. I wasn't listening to you because you got me fixated on that person. Yeah, I thought that tennis player you was talking about. And that was Annika Storensen, I believe that was her name. Yeah, I remember her quite well, Coach. Kournikova. Anna Kournikova.
Kournikova, yeah, that was her.
Yeah, you kind of got me off track there a little bit. Matter of fact, I had to loosen my collar a little bit there, Coach.
Yeah.
But along those same lines, does it portray women's athletes as sex object and not sports performers? Coach? I think he must have fell out. I think he must be looking at trying to get some pictures of Anna Kournikova. But my question to you again was, Coach, do you think that women athletes are portrayed as sex objects and not just sports performers?
Let me say this to you, Coach. I can't answer for all of America, but I can say this to you. I respect the woman and their athletic abilities to perform at the given sport they wish to play. You know, myself and you included, we coach professional women's football.
Right.
So I'm not out there looking at them as an object or a sex object or a toy. I'm out there to get the best out of them as athletes, Coach. So, you know, that's kind of a biased point of view, being that I'm in a different situation than the average American. Because I know the abilities of women and the things that they do, the way they work hard to perform, but somebody else may only look at them as a sex object. Who am I to say that they do or don't? But as far as me, I respect the abilities of women, and I think they perform in the sports arenas very well. They're dedicated. They're hardworking. They get injuries, ACL tears, rotators cuff, just like the male counterparts, and they come back from it, Coach. So that shows me the desire. That shows me the willingness to get things done.
But if women were playing hockey as opposed to tennis, if you had a choice to go see a tennis match, Coach, or go see women's hockey, and they got all those pads on, the face mask, and a couple of missing teeth, would you go see that sport, Coach? Maybe it's a very aggressive sport. It's right along the same lines as football. You know, it's right there, hard-hitting. Or would you feel comfortable sitting in the stands, Coach, watching Serena or even Anna Kournikova, got the name right this time, sitting there in a nice little hat on your head in the sun, watching the ball go back and forth and watching them yell and scream.
Well, Coach, I know you're asking me these questions because this is the talk show radio, but I think you already know the answer. I'm a very physical.
I want the audience to know,
Coach. Right, I'm a very physical and aggressive guy. I'm going to see the hockey match, Coach. I mean, Anna Kournikovich is a very attractive lady along with Serena Williams, but at the same time, you know my love and passion for the more physical sports, Coach. So that would be my question and what I would go see. But if you ask me, do I think the average person, which one they would go see? I think they'll go see the tennis match because of the skimpier outfits, because of the more flesh that's shown. And like I said, again, sex sells. I mean, we can act like it doesn't, but we all know through the course of time and history, sex has been selling for centuries.
That's true, Coach. And I have to admit, I had the opportunity several years back. I was in Canada and really had, I was just touring around the city and I had an opportunity. I was surprised. Matter of fact, I was really surprised, Coach. And I guess this is the way, because I'm going to talk about this a little later. I found out that at the Rogers Cup, Serena was happened to be in the city and she was playing in the Rogers Cup. So I called the Ticketmaster place and I'm thinking, man, I probably won't be able to get a ticket. It's going to be, way out my price range. And I called the ticket booth lady, and she says, well, we got the gold membership, the gold ticket, the blue ticket, and the silver ticket. And I said, well, hey, how often would I get an opportunity to see her play? And I said, well, look, I'm going to go out on a limb. Let me have the gold ticket. How much is that worth? And she says, oh, that's $25. I was totally blown away, Coach. $25. $25
wow.
To see her play. And my seats were, I'm probably four rows from where she was playing. It was a tremendous tennis match. And I don't know if you remember, there was a time she won the first couple of matches, and she ended up getting hurt. She didn't come back and play and finish out the tournament. But I was just amazed, and here it is again, a top player such as herself, a tennis match in a major city, and I was able to see that and be able to sit so close for practically nothing. I mean, it was just unbelievable to me. So, Coach, dollars speak volumes. So do we blame, Coach, the advertisers, or do we blame women's athletes for the lack of lack of media coverage?
Well, Coach, one thing for sure, you can't blame the women athlete because they're doing everything that they need to do just like the male counterparts is doing. The lack of media coverage, it's just like a topic that we spoke with a couple weeks ago. It's what the public yearn for. Is the public yearning for, like I said, the beginning tennis matches of Serena and Venus Williams? Are they yearning for the female softball world championship in the Olympics? Are they yearning to see this on a regular basis? And is the sponsors out here willing to put the big dollars into these type of arenas for women professional athletes to prosper? Because that's what it really comes down to, Coach. I mean, is Pepsi a major sponsor? Are they going to sponsor women's softball in the Olympics? And for you to see this, you ought to have major sponsors and major contributors to these women's sports for us to be able to see it in more detail. And that's no fault of the women because they're doing, without the media coverage, they're still doing an admirable job, just as good, if not better, than some of their male counterparts. So, no, we can't fault the female athlete for that, Coach. But I got a tough question for you after I invite the audience in here, Coach, to join us here on this discussion this week. Give us a call here on Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. You can call us in area code 347-826-7278 or email us on Blog Talk Radio. We're here for you. We're here to answer some of your questions, and let's see if we can spice this conversation up to even another level. But I do have a question for you, Coach, and this is a tough question.
I knew you'd try to get in here.
Yeah, you know I have to get in. That's the difference between the host and the co-host. So we're going to ask you this one, Coach. I got text message this question. It didn't come across the email, but I'm going to ask you this question anyway, and we're talking about women in the media coverage and sports. Why is it that when you see males participate in a sport, it's never a question of one's sexuality? But the minute you see a female participate in grueling or violent or you know, physical sports, the first thing one wants to question is whether the woman is a lesbian or is she straight. Why does that question always come to mind, Coach?
That's not a tough question. Actually, Coach, that was one of the questions I was going to hit you with tonight, and I'll keep it real. But that is, I mean, we have to look at, and then what we're talking about is a sense, is a part of discrimination in sex and how we view players. I mean, we know what the male athlete's about. You know, we know that he's going to be strong, determined. That's the image that we built. But society is not used to,
Coach, you hold that thought for you because I know you're going to get back to that. We have a caller from the 325 area code. Caller, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah, this is Sports Geeks. How you doing tonight?
How you doing there?
How you doing?
Pretty good. Yeah, I wanted to tell you about the, you know, if when I did a show with Coach Lee, and the people in the chat room were asking, what is the ratio between women being lesbians and straight? And Coach Lee straight out put it 70-30. 70 are straight and 30% are you know, lesbian or gay, which was, you know, it was a straight question. Everybody wants to know. Everybody likes to know. They just wanted to know what it was. And he put it straight out forward and never talked about it again. But, hey, life goes on, and that's just the way it goes.
I mean, he put it straight out there, and we have no problem with everybody's opinion.
Exactly.
But what are we talking about, professional female football?
Sure am.
Well, that's, again, and I respect the question, but that's kind of a tough question to answer in the broad sense of everybody's team in the league. I mean, because my particular team, the Baltimore Nighthawks right now, we don't carry a 70-30 ratio. So
it was a standard question from the chat room. I had to ask, as being, you know, an amateur reporter,
right?
And I just wanted to ask. But, you know, he could have said no, I don't feel like answering it right now. That's fine. But he answered it, which was great, and I thought it was kind of cool. And but you know what? It doesn't matter. Come on, you know, it doesn't matter if they are or not.
You're
it's not the point. The point is to get to, you know, show that the women can play football just like the men or any kind of professional sports. That's what it was all about.
Absolutely, Sports Geek. And if you, I don't know if you heard a previous show that we talked about, when we talked about when we were doing the tryouts, when we had, I told a story where the women were practicing on the field, and several gentlemen, four or five gentlemen, came down to the field and said, hey, where can we sign up to play football? And I said to them, you might want to wait till you take their helmets off. And they were totally taken back. I said, these are women? And, yeah. I mean, they were hitting and tackling just like guys. And they were like, man, I mean, we've never seen anything like that. So, I mean, the perception is it's just out there. I mean, that they think that most of them are lesbians. But, again, like Coach said, you know, we don't have that kind of ratio on our particular team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's over 1,600 women that are involved in the IWF with over 41 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know where he's getting the statistics or if he went around to the poll at the national championship, but – I mean, it's kind of hard to say, but I would say that that's the perception to a degree to probably a large number of the audiences, that you have to be of that lifestyle to participate in that sport. That's far from the truth. There are a lot of women that just enjoy the game. We've talked about
exactly
before that over 40% of the women in the
NFL
fans are women.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed before, and just talking with and looking at some things, that generally they're the biggest purchases of NFL or just sports apparel in general. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a large market, and for them not, I mean, one to be interested. We actually did a fundraiser. Well, not a fundraiser. We did a something with the Ravens football down there. What's it called? I think it was a blue or purple Monday night. I forget what the title was called. But we actually, over 1,300 women came out because they had an interest in the game of football. They wanted to learn
exactly
They passed the ball. They kicked the ball. Mm-hmm. They went out, ran out for passes in their high heels, and some of them had dresses on. But it was just the ideal of the love of the game, and some of these women
exactly.
actually transitioned over to coming out and trying the game of football.
And one of the things, Coach, one of the things I want to point out is, you know, and I respect the coach when you asked him the question, and he said about 70-30. One of the things that I don't think is fair to women in this sport is perception. You know,
yep.
because like you said, and we're talking about it here tonight, would you ask an average male that to
That's
try
the problem.
Out for a football team? You know, so why are we trying to pigeonhole these women, whether they are lesbians or they're not lesbians? Does it really make a difference? And should we be focused on that if they simply have a love for the game like everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I don't want to have happen to the IWFL is people stereotype the league as being a lesbian league. Because it really doesn't make a difference. We're welcoming anybody that want to participate and learn the game and play football, and you want to do something that you have a passion for, and that's the message should be sent out into the general public and not what their sexuality is.
Exactly. But you know what? I do have to tell you guys something. I don't think, after since then, I've never had that question asked again. I've never heard anything else. I think it's because everybody understands that when I do my show, they understand that these women football players are professionals.
Right.
And you'll never hear it again from my show again. You'll never hear that question again. It'll never come up again. But what I'll do, and I'll make sure I explain everybody, and I tell them on every show that Sunday that I do my show, that these are professional women football players. They play just NFL. They play like NFL. The NFL rules, except one thing, is involved a little smaller to kite their hands. That's it. It was never talked about again. It never will be talked about again. So I just want to let you know that
let me
these people that are coming to my show, they're actually coming there because they're professional players, not listening to, you know, me talk about them being professional.
Well, let me ask you this, Sports Geek.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my viewpoint, should it really even matter? We come to see the game, not the people.
Yep.
We come
yep.
to see the game. I mean, unless you have a personal relationship with an individual, you don't know who they are. I mean, over time, you start developing your likes and who these players are.
They got
a helmet on, equipment on, and you're looking at their performance. You're looking
yep.
at the game. It doesn't matter unless they're doing something off the field that is totally outrageous, which draws more attention to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think the media is biased in covering these sports because of that air of these are players of different lifestyles? Do you think that's an inhibitor of the less sports coverage because of that perception?
That draws a line right there. I think the media doesn't understand. They don't understand the game of women's football. You know, they don't understand it. You know, it's the same caliber as the NFL rules, and that's the only reason why I think they're not covering it. I don't think it's perception of the lifestyle. I really don't. I think if they just don't understand, you know, these women are doing what? That's what they're saying. They're like, they're doing what? It's just like women going into combat. A woman's going what? She's in the middle of the firing line? What? It's just like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's
oh,
what
yeah.
it's about.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree, but I appreciate you, Sports Geek, for hanging in there. I noticed you've been
mm-hmm.
in the chat room for several weeks now, and
mm-hmm.
we're here to accept everybody's opinion.
Exactly.
We're not here to force our opinions on anybody, and we're not here to change your mind. We're just here to give you an objective opinion, and maybe something we say maybe get you to look at something in a different point of view.
Exactly.
And we appreciate you calling in, and
you
can call back anytime.
No problem. You have a great night, guys. We'll
you
talk
too.
To you a little later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I'd like to take an opportunity to mention our sponsors on the air. As always, you know, if it wasn't for the sponsors, we wouldn't be here. And just keep in mind that when you're leaving the downtown Baltimore area and you're not ready to fight that traffic, stop in at Peace and a Cup of Joe, located at 713 West Pratt Street, for a cup of coffee, great atmosphere, and just a plain place to go and relax.
I get my coffee there, Coach.
Is that why you also the wire? Also, Flambini Wear. You need T-shirts and other sports apparel, go to Flambini Wear, located in White Marsh, Maryland. Coach, you know, when we work out, we train, we look to increase our desire, our beliefs, build out character and determination, get a good, strong sense of heart and pride. How about you, those out there in radio land? Are you looking for that competitive edge to enhance your performance? Well, there's only one place to go, Coach.
You know that's right.
And that's Velocity Sports Performance, located at 1427 Clockville Road in Mount Washington, Maryland. Hey, mention our ad. You heard it here on the Nighthawks Radio, and maybe they'll have some nice special deals and other promotions for you. This week, we've added a new sponsor to our team, Coach.
Hey, love those sponsors, Coach.
You may have another place to go get your coffee, and that's Zeke's. Zeke's Coffee, seller of whole coffee beans, Coach. Not half, not a quarter, the whole coffee bean, Coach.
Coach, if you're going to get coffee and it ain't that a piece and a cup of Joe, Zeke will be the place.
There you go, Coach. You can get Zeke's coffee by the cup or by the pound at Waverly Farmers Market, Eddie's Market in Charles Village, and a host of other locations, Coach. For more information, go to their website. It's www.zekescoffee.com. Also, Coach, listeners, if anyone out there looking to sponsor the team or the Baltimore Nighthawks or a Nighthawks player for the 2009 season, they can contact tbryan@gmail.com. That's tbryan@gmail.com for some great sponsorship packages. Coach, I'd like to make a couple quick announcements. One of the featured events that we have coming up. And as you know, we're preparing to raise awareness about breast cancer, hunger, and to support women's tackle football. On March 21st, the Baltimore Nighthawks will be hosting the D.C. Divas in this year's Pink Ribbon Bowl.
What date is that, Coach?
I said that was March 21st, Coach.
March 21st.
2009, not 2008, not 2010, 2009, Coach.
Yes, we will.
We'll be hosting D.C. Divas, as I say, the Pink Ribbon Bowl. Proceeds are to benefit the Coleman Counton Foundation and the B. Gaddy Family Center. And as a special added feature, if you bring one non-perishable canned good to the game, you'll receive a chance to be picked at halftime.
Halftime?
Halftime, Coach, for the $10,000, that's right, that's what I said, $10,000 football toss.
Woo-wee! I sure could use that $10,000, Coach.
I know you could, because I've seen some of your wardrobe. Matter of fact, I may hit $20 right now, Coach. Go get started. One lucky person will be drawn at halftime for that $10,000 for a chance to win with the football toss. Excuse me. Again, this date is March the 21st. The game will be held at Baltimore Poly Institute. Ludsman Scott Stadium. Baltimore Poly Institute and Ludsman Scott Stadium. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. You can get your tickets at www.brownpapertickets.com or go to the Nighthawks website at www.thebaltimorenighthawks.com. So fill up your shopping carts for a good cause. Come out, watch some great football, and have a chance to win at a $10,000 football toss.
All I can say, Coach, is that's why I love those Nighthawks. Here on Nighthawks Radio, we own the night because we out in the community and we out and about, Coach.
You got it, Coach. Let me make one correction, though, Coach, on that website for anyone who wants to sponsor a team for the Nighthawks, and that's tbryant73. I left the 73 out because I was still thinking about that $10,000, Coach.
Yeah, it gets me too, Coach.
That's tbryant73@gmail.com. Gmail.com. As you know, I think my shopping cart's halfway full, and I'm going to put a little disguise on. I'm going to probably be the first one in line so I can get a chance at that $10,000 football toss, Coach.
I hear that, Coach. Like I said, I mean, you know, being out of the community is dear to our heart. Well, we here for Cure for Coleman, breast cancer awareness, Coach, and can you think of a better cause in a female sport to have a fundraiser for, Coach?
Couldn't think of a better program. And Coleman's been around for years, and, you know, of course, you know, B. Gaddy's have a legacy. Their family's actually taken over the business, and it's a tremendous outpouring of love that they have for a sense of community to help those who are less fortunate.
You're absolutely right about that, Coach. I mean, because let's face it, my daddy used to say to me all the time, you're one incident away in life from needing help.
That's correct, Coach. Coach, back to the topic at hand. does pretty images of women help promote women's athletes, entice other women to go into the game? Does, I mean, do you think it's a sense of discrimination where only the pretty faces are put on the media?
Well, Coach, just like anything in life, it can work both ways. It can work in a positive way because it can build a fan base when you have rather attractive athletes that can do the things that their male counterparts can do. And it can work in a negative way because people may look at it like that's all they're here for is to look pretty, and they can't really do the things that the male athletes can do, and they never even give them the chance to do the things that the male athlete can do because they come there with ulterior motives, Coach. So, but I think it's the first of the two, though, Coach. I think it can really help female athletes because, you know, what's in the pretty face if they can knock your helmet off at the same time, Coach? I mean, let's keep it real for a second. I mean, you know, if you can look at a very attractive female that can knock your helmet off, I would think you had the best of both worlds, Coach.
You're absolutely right, Coach. I'd have to agree with you there. But, Coach, we alluded to this before. We mentioned this before about women being the, you know, buying the most sports apparel. But in the same breath, Coach, they tend to read less sports-related issues. And, you know, if they're not reading sports-related issues, that means that the readership and subscriptions in the print media, which speaks volumes, is going to be probably not picking up on the articles or the events that are taking place because women are not reading sports. They're not, they want to participate in it, but they're not reading the sports paper. I mean, I'll never remember anyone, you know, I'm sitting at a coffee table and I've got finished with the sports page. Maybe I'm looking at the Maryland section and women sitting there at the table. Says, let me see the sports. Let me see the sports page. So, I mean, do you think that's a problem by the fact that they're not reading? They're not. I mean, they're not interested. They want to play, but they're not reading.
And let me just add something there, Coach, and I get where you're going. But for the listeners out there, we just want to say when Coach Coop is giving a point of view, we're not saying no women are reading sports. We're saying the majority of the fan base is not reading. And this is a majority-based society. So we don't want anyone to get offended, Coach, by when you say women are not reading. We're not saying all. We're simply saying on a large scale they're not reading as a whole. And we just want to clear that up because from time to time people get offended about things, Coach, that we say. And I just wanted to take the time and try to clear that up because I know where you're going, Coach. And you're not, you're not here to offend anyone.
But
I'm going to say this to you, and you're absolutely right. I mean, but I can say this to you. They're starting to study, like you said, they're starting to read more. They're starting to look at the little intricacies about sports and not the glamorous side of sports. They're telling you that T.O. is being traded because of his bad attitude, Coach, and not because he's not a good football player. And you have to be astute to know the difference and follow T.O.'s history. So, and I'm just using T.O. as an example, not to be down on T.O., because he's a heck of an athlete, Coach. But at the same time, one of the things that we teach in our football camp is sportsmanship and good attitudes, Coach, and it goes a long way with the chemistry of football. So, they're not reading in the masses like the male counterparts, but I think it's catching on slowly, just like society. Sometimes you know, you can light a match, Coach, and it catches fire the first time. And sometimes you got to strike it 2-3 times, and before you know it you done caught a fire. So basically what I'm saying, with a 40% large fan base in football following the NFL, there's females, it's not going to be long for that 40% strike that match and catch on fire and really get into the sports and endeavors like the male counterparts.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, Coach. I mean, I think the more attention that we put out there as far as media coverage, is there anything we can do to promote it, whether it be billboards, print media, news coverage. Like I told you before, I get tired of watching the news and keep seeing the same story repeated over and over and over again. And saying to myself, there's got to be more to what's going on in the world than these same 3-4 stories. And every media group is guilty of this. But I'm just wondering if that's a factor by the women not embracing you know, sports in that aspect, as far as the dealing with reading the publications, especially the print media, you know, is there, by them grasping it as fans and not really readerships of that material, are they culprits for the lack of media attention? Or could this be a factor that just in general, there is no readership, there's no volume? I'm pretty sure that if there was, you know, an increase on sales, matter of fact, print media is about to go out. I'm talking about closing the Sun papers here because everything's going across the Internet now. So, I mean, it's a visual medium, but it's still a print medium when you pull up your email or not your email address or you go onto a blog or you go and you're reading more. And I'm just wondering whether or not by them not doing that, is an indicator why there's a lack of media attention.
And Coach, you're absolutely correct. I'm quite sure that would be an avenue that they looked at to determine whether some of these things is coming to fruition. You're absolutely correct. But let me say this to you, Coach. I think everything is a phase, Coach. I mean, let's take it for instance. You're sitting on a plane. You're traveling from Baltimore to, say, Denver, Colorado. And you're sitting next to a gentleman. You have no idea who this gentleman is. That's the great thing about America. You're sitting there people all the time and have no idea what they do for a living until you engage them in a conversation. And you're sitting next to this gentleman, and you start engaging him in this conversation, and you find out that he was the chief editor of ESPN Sports. And you say some profound things to him, and he took your advice, and he wants to invite you out for a sit down and see if you can work out a deal to put things together. And that's what I mean by a chance, Coach. So what I'm basically asking you, I mean saying to you, if take that same situation that a female was sitting next to this editor. And she engaged him in sports conversation, and next thing you know, he took this and ran off with it, and next thing you know, it becomes a fad. And you're right. It becomes a point where they blow up the females' football covered by ESPN. It's all about exposure to me, Coach, and being limited. So, because what I'm basically saying, perception is such a large part of society.
Right.
And what you're saying is absolutely true. And if the people in control perceive that women are not that interesting, to them they're really not that interesting, whether they really are or aren't. And that's what I'm saying, because that one chance meeting sitting on a plane can change the whole perception of women's sports right then and there, Coach. And have somebody in a high place be willing to take a chance to give somebody a break and to expose the IWFL football on ESPN on a larger scale, and then it becomes a household name, Coach.
Right along those lines, Coach, I'm glad you went there, because my next question deals with, is it an issue that there's not enough women sports reporters? And if so, I mean, or do you feel that they tend to focus, I'm talking about the women sports reporters that are out there now, do you feel that they tend to focus on men's sports in order to get ahead in the business? And by doing that, women's sports media suffers. I mean, what do you think about that, Coach?
Well, Coach, I mean, it's... It's like my daddy used to say. My daddy, by the way, was a wise man, Coach. You know, eighth grade education, but a very wise man.
And I've met him, and he still amazes me to this day.
And all I can say to you, Coach, is this. My daddy used to say, most people go along just to get along, Coach. You know what I mean? But we got a caller here, Coach. 410 area code here in the Maryland area. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how you doing, Carl?
I'm good. Great topic. It's funny, Coach actually just asked the question that I was waiting to ask you, which was around female reporters. Now that we're starting to see more female sports reporters on, you know, ESPN, the NFL Network, you know, they're asking more serious questions, you know, actually about the game. They're very knowledgeable. How do you see that playing in to women's sports? Do you think that'll help? Do you think that they might be more motivated to sort of push towards, you know, promoting some of the female events. And I'll give you an example. I was speaking to someone who works for a local station here in Baltimore. I won't say which one, who happens to be part of Women's Roller Derby, which is very popular on the East Coast. And even though she's part of a network, you know, it's still very difficult to get anyone to come out and cover that sport, which is very aggressive. You know, certainly roller derby and football have some of the same fans because it is a very physical game. What do you think about that?
Well, all I'm going to say to you on this level caller, Coach Coop, he's like psychic. We knew you were going to call in and ask that question, so that's why we tried to hit you off on that question. But to answer that question quite fairly and honestly, caller, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to say, like I was explaining to Coach Coop a couple seconds ago, it's about chance. I mean, like you said, she's at a local station and she's trying to get roller derby covered. It's about chance, and it's like anything else. And we're having females being reporters, but are the females in the position in these major companies like ESPN, local TV station, to get the authorization to cover these sports? And that's where I think it lies in the problem, because if you don't get to these executives in charge to get them to give you the okay, you can have all the female reporters you want, but the final say is the final say. And unfortunately, till we can get some more females in some of these positions across the United States and give that exposure and the female willing to take that chance, it's sad to say it might be a monopoly for males. And that's the way I look at it.
And just from my point of view, and that was one of the questions, concerns that I had was, you know, I mean, the stories that they take, and that's why I posed the question, I mean, are they more focused on covering the big story with the NFL to get ahead in that market to get the next promotion? I mean, let's just say they want to leave ESPN or they're at a smaller station. They want to come to network. So they want to do the stories that have the greater focus, thereby sacrificing women's sports issues. And that's my concern. I mean, the women that are in that position and women reporters who might not necessarily have to get the okay, that because a lot of stories – the reporters, from what I understand, you know, they're told to go out and generate stories, to go out and find stories. So if they take the time to go out and focus on, you know, the Baltimore Nighthawks or the IWFL and find some good human interest stories and put something together really well, will the editor cut it? Will he cut it down from a two-segment program to 5 minutes? You know, we got women's football in Baltimore. And they're playing here, and then that's it. I mean, or is she aggressive enough to say, you know, we need to focus on this, we need to do this? I mean, or is her focus career-directed to say that I'll do this, but I want the big coverage. I want the TO coverage. I want the NFL coverage. I want the All-Star coverage and all this other stuff. I know what there is great, and, you know, I know the women are playing, but I want to do this market because this will elevate me in my career. And that's why I was wondering if by the fact that they could be damaging to the sport itself and the sport is suffering, women's sports is suffering because they are not taking that initiative.
I think that's probably a very good point, Coach. You know, I think the other thing people need to realize is women spend a lot of money going to sporting events. If you look at the NFL, 40% of NFL fans are females. You know, which that's definitely a change, probably in the last 5 years. You know, you're starting to see more mothers out with their kids, you know, in Little League, Pee Wee football, a variety of things. So, I mean, I think certainly women have shown that they're interested in sports. They enjoy sports. It'd be nice to see the media coverage step up to the level of fan support.
No question. And, Coach, caller, you can stay on the line for this, and you might want to chime in. But, Coach, you know, final thoughts in this segment, and going back to my opening comments about Billie Jean King, you know, and the foundations and their work, what do you suggest to promote the increase of women's media coverage? What can we do to even the playing field, if anything, and how long and what will it take?
Well, Coach, just like anything else, it is going to take time. it's going to be a slow, methodic process. But some of the things we can do, like I said, we can put it out more verbally that we want to see some of these sports on TV, because we are the consumers, Coach, being male and female. We are the consumers, because there wouldn't be an ESPN without a public fan base. It wouldn't be a local TV station without a public fan base. So if you write your editors and these companies and ask for these programs over and over and over again, and the numbers dictate that people really want to see that, because one thing I say about ESPN, they take a poll for everything.
Right.
They take a poll for the poll, Coach. They got a poll for the poll for the poll, Coach. So what I'm basically saying is, if you get them to take a poll of how many people want to see professional women's football, and everybody, when they take that poll, you chime in, and you have 200,000, 300,000 people across this country want to see IWFL football on ESPN, at some point, Coach, they will take notice and they will start to branch off into that market. And that's one of the things that I think we can do right now, Coach. We can flood our local station, flood our local sports centers. We can flood ESPN. We can flood our local newspapers and ask for some of these sporting events to be on the front page and tell them that we're interested. And I think that's the start of something special, Coach.
And, Coach, my final thoughts on that, and I agree with you, but I feel that as long as women are unable to obtain a piece of the mega millions in advertising dollars, paydays for women will continue to be small, and with that, so will media coverage. Coach, you know, as always, I appreciate dialoguing with you, and it's been great. Keeping fun. It's been fun tonight. I've enjoyed this dialogue. It's been a great conversation.
It's been a great topic, Coach. All I want to say, we get ready to leave the air. Once again, thank the sponsors for sponsoring us. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio for having us once again. It's always a true blessing, and we are just humble individual, Coach, to have this chance to really get on the radio and express our opinion. As always, everybody's opinion is value to us. Please call in at any time and give us your opinion. Remember, no opinion is a bad opinion, Coach. It's simply your opinion. That's what it is, Coach. Thank you for coming out, listening to us tonight on Nighthawks Radio. We on tonight. Good night, Coach.
Good night, Coach.